about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Isn't my story amazing? It's tragic, but it's amazing. I love my story.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hi. My name is Gil. And I'm black.
And now,
you think we have a problem with alcohol?
Absolutely. We don't have any.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It is the 4th of February.
Happy birthday to the late Dr. Clyde Tombaugh, by the way, the discoverer of Pluto. He would have been 109 years old today.
That's a great story.
Right?
Can I buy the movie rights to it?
You certainly can.
Yeah.
And, of course, later this month, we'll talk more about Clyde as the anniversary of the discovery of Pluto happens. Every year on February 18th, we get into that a little bit. So
not really. Not so much.
So
less of that.
Who gave Ralph the AIDS? Was it you, Lisa, or was it you, Kevin?
Well, I don't know. I stayed home, I wouldn't give anyone the AIDS.
Same, but I feel like I was patient zero. I do feel like I got it first.
Yeah, that is true.
Stayed home a couple of days, then came in, and just everyone started falling.
Yeah.
But when you came in, though, you said what people always say, which is, but I'm not contagious.
Yeah, but I did it as a joke because you don't ever know if you're contagious. It's funny to us that so many people are so confident that they're not contagious.
Well, I just assume if I don't have a fever, probably not contagious.
That's probable. I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's the thing. Who knows?
I wish we had access to some sort of a medical professional, maybe a doctor or somebody would ask that question, like how you know you're contagious or not. Because this time of year, it does seem like it's just getting passed around to everybody.
Yeah, everybody seems to be sick, at least for a little while, and it's just going around like crazy.
Now, Chip, you thought you were getting it for a minute this week, right?
Yeah, I had a little bit of a sore throat and a cold, but it's mostly gone now.
But no fever, though.
No fever.
Maybe fever's the key, Lisa. Maybe you're onto something there.
Chip's stronger than most of us. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Well, she uses so much less energy to run her body than
that's
the rest
true.
Of us. We're all exhausted trying to operate a full-sized human. Chip doesn't have that. Anyway, we'll muddle through without Mr. Garman, but we do have a very inspirational story to get started. I saw this, didn't take much notice of it, but was talking to associate producer Christine yesterday, and she was just bowled away by what this guy does every day. I mean, you think you've got a tough life or a tough commute. This is a guy who's in the news right now. He's in Detroit, and each day, round trip, he has to walk 21 miles to commute to his job. Now, let me explain. He works at a factory. He's a mold injector at a factory. It's a good job, but it doesn't pay. I mean, it pays more than minimum wage, which in Michigan is $8.15 an hour. He's making $10.55 an hour, but it's not enough for him to be able to buy and maintain and have insurance on a car. So he doesn't have a car.
There's a bus that goes?
He had one. He does ride the bus for part of it.
Oh.
He did have a car. It crapped out on him about 10 years ago. He had a 1988 Accord. 10 years ago, it crapped out on him. So here's what he does. He leaves the house each morning at 8 a.m., takes the bus as far as he can, but it only gets him within 8 miles of the factory that he works in. So he has to walk that 8 miles after he gets off the bus. By the way, bear in mind, we're talking about Detroit.
Detroit.
Yes.
Have you seen the weather in Michigan lately?
Oh, what a hellhole that is.
All right, so he gets up at 8 a.m., again, takes the bus, walks 8 miles to get to the factory. He has never missed a day, by the way, in 10 years, even with the weather, even with his commute.
Wow.
He works in the factory from 2 until 10 p.m., Then he starts walking home. He has to walk because of the reduced bus schedule, because there are some places in Detroit where there's no bus at all. He has to walk 13 miles and take a bus the rest of the way to get home. So eight miles in the morning on his commute, 13 miles on the way home. He gets home at 4 a.m.
Good Lord.
What?
Leaves the house each morning at 8 a.m. So that's his deal. He says he sleeps when he can. He usually tries to sleep on the bus, obviously, while he can. I'm sure he's certainly tired enough to do that. He is, I think he is 56 years old, by the way, and he's been doing it for 10 years. Why doesn't he move, you may wonder? He lives with his girlfriend who inherited the house that they share together.
Oh!
So it's cheap, cheap, cheap because she owns the house. So that's why he doesn't move. And apparently this is the best job he can get. He doesn't say in the article that he's looked for something closer, but I can't imagine he hasn't, right?
Yeah, I can't either. Yeah. Is he one of those guys that loves walking, loves jogging, loves whatever? Is he just
says he loves his job. He says he likes the people that he works with and he enjoys the work.
If I have to walk that far to work, I call it unemployed.
Doesn't anyone drive by on the way to work?
There is a...
it's Detroit. There are a lot of drive-bys. I don't know how that helps.
The front page story in the Detroit Free Press a couple of weeks ago profiled him, and it's a pretty lengthy article, and I read the whole thing. And there are times, and there is one guy in particular who, when he sees him and it's like below 9 degrees or something, he does try to, if he has time, he does try to pick him up and help him out. But lots of people see this guy walking the same route every day. I mean, if you drive the same way to work every day and there's always the same guy walking.
Yeah.
You would notice him, and there are people who do. So he does have some people who try to help when they can, but obviously he can't count on that. I mean, he's got to do the thing he can do. I think this is the best part of the whole story, though. Somebody who read the article in the paper started a crowdfunding effort and has raised more than $80,000 for the man so far.
Wow.
So we have a happy ending. On top of that, two car dealerships in the Detroit area have offered to give him brand new cars.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Wow.
So his...
he's going to have three cars.
His hellish commute is going to come to an end. But if it hadn't been for that newspaper article, this poor man probably just would have walked himself into the grave, right?
I mean, when was the last time you walked 13 miles?
Never.
In nice weather.
I don't think I've ever walked 13 miles in my whole life in one day. I just don't. But this guy is doing round trip, 2 bus rides and 21 miles on the road. And again, in winter weather. In any kind of weather.
In Detroit.
And by the way, in the summertime, Detroit is no picnic either with that heat and humidity. On the walk home, by the way, Kevin, a large portion of his 13 miles home is south of 8 Mile. And he has been mugged only once that he will admit to.
It was M&M.
Doesn't like to talk about it, but he says you do run into some pretty sketchy characters in that part of Detroit. But that's an inspirational dude right there. I mean,
you know,
they talk to the plant manager who says, when I have employees who say I can't make it in and they live 10 minutes away, I point to this guy and say, really? This guy figured out a way to make it for everybody. He does. And he hasn't missed a day. Like, how does he not get sick?
What a dick.
Right?
He's got such good cardiovascular health. That's why.
I guess so. So anyway, so well done, sir. Well done. James Robertson, apparently the hero of the day.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
That's right, Kevin. You can suck it.
All right. Adam Carolla will be on the program today with This Week in Rage. We have a brand new Thanks for the Info Bean.
How dare you?
Good sesh, by the way. This is pretty amazing. Yesterday, Ralph did the story about Ben Norton, who did a song called The Sick Beat in a punk version.
Oh, it's a great song.
It's awesome. And we're going to talk to him today about this because he's taken on Taylor Swift. Anybody that does that is our hero.
Yeah.
The Sick Beat! Yes, that guy! The Sick Beat!
There's our boy right there.
Come on. We also have live music today. Cage the Elephant will be stopping by, performing live.
They're really good, by the way. They played Acoustic Christmas and they played Weenie Roast, and they're really good. So I'm excited about that.
We have your chance for K-Rock's World Tour 2015, destination number 4, which is Hozier at Slane Castle in Ireland. We're going to give you a chance to win the tickets to see them at the pre-Grammy party and get into the drawing. We're going to do that in the 6 o'clock hour.
Okay.
So keep listening for that. And the great Al Michaels. Al Mother Effin' Michaels. This guy has been at every sporting event that matters for 40 years.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Yeah.
So he's going to be here. He's written a new book called You Can't Make This Up, which I'm sure he's going back to the printer today and saying, hey, I need to add a chapter called The Seattle Seahawks.
Speaking of things you can't make up.
Right. So we'll talk to him today. He has a book signing as well. We'll tell you where that is. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Hey, let's take our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. Conrad Hilton, not as famous as his sisters Paris and Nikki, but he is in the Hilton family. Well, they made their money in hotels, right, Lisa? That's where they became hundreds of billionaires or whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
He's 20 years old. He was just arrested this week about over an incident that happened back in July, which we did not hear about at the time, but TMZ is reporting he's on an international flight. He went berserk on a flight from London to L.A. and began screaming at and threatening flight attendants.
Wow.
Punching in the air, centimeters away from the flight attendant's face, pounding on the bulkhead. Here are some of the things that young 20-year-old Conrad Hilton was heard to yell during his meltdown. You're going to love this, Kevin.
All right.
If you want to square up to me, bro, then bring it. I will effing fight you. That sounds like Kevin at Miss Double D pageant.
Yeah.
I am going to effing kill you. I will effing rip right through you. Here's my favorite. And this is how you know he's a Hilton. I will effing own anyone on this flight. They are effing peasants.
Yes.
He also said that he could take any flight attendant's job away in 30 seconds. He did eventually fall asleep on the plane, and the captain authorized crew members to restrain him to his seat for the descent. He was handcuffed to the seat.
Wow.
So that's how he woke up and found out he had been handcuffed to the seat, which, by the way, I think is reasonable based on his behavior. I think that makes a lot of sense for the pilot to do that.
Here's my thing, though. Don't you make a move before he falls asleep? I mean, he's threatening to kill people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know about what goes on planes and what resources they have available. But, I mean, who's around who's – maybe you've got an air marshal on the plane. Maybe you're lucky. But who's around who's going to hold a 20-year-old dude down? You know what I mean?
I got to tell you, honestly, after 9/11, I think people just go, look, we got to all do something together.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Three or four people. It doesn't matter if
passengers.
It's 20.
You're saying passengers.
Yeah.
It got so out of control, by the way, that babies on the plane started crying.
Good.
It was one of those kinds of deals. He has hired Robert Shapiro. Yes, you recognize that name as his attorney. What do you suppose Mr. Shapiro's defense is for Conrad Hilton's behavior on the plane?
Well, you didn't tell us what he was complaining about yet, did you? Because I was guessing they wouldn't give him more alcohol?
It doesn't say. It doesn't say that there was anything that set him off. We don't know why he was so angry and getting violent with the flight attendants.
What was
Robert Shapiro's defense is that Conrad took a sleeping pill before the flight, and he wasn't himself.
Oh, the Ambien defense.
He says there are numerous news reports and cases of people experiencing adverse effects, including aggressive outbursts. And he's suggesting that's what happened here. Is aggressive outbursts, that sometimes happens with Ambien?
I think a lot of people do a lot of things and blame it on Ambien. It may not be all of its fault, but yeah, there are stories where people say that's what caused me to go crazy and bite people.
They get in their cars and they drive.
Yeah.
But I get the get in your car and drive and not be aware. I get the get up and eat. I get the vacuuming. I get those. I don't know that I can recall hearing about one that caused aggressive outbursts.
Yeah,
that was
a
surprise to me.
I also don't buy it one bit.
I don't either.
No.
I don't either. Again, as I mentioned, this episode happened back in July. He did admit himself into rehab immediately, by the way, which to me says it's not a sleeping pill.
Right. Yeah.
You now put yourself into rehab.
You clearly don't need rehab for a sleeping pill.
Right. Clearly it's something else. It happened back then, but he was just arrested this week and is out on bond. But imagine being on that plane with that punk, right?
Oh, that would suck so much. And then all the babies that they finally got to sleep are starting to wake up and scream.
Exactly.
That's where I'm taking action.
And one more thing, because I'm so excited about this Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary celebration show that's going to be coming up. Kevin, I know you don't watch SNL.
I don't.
But think about the 40 years of star power that show has.
There's probably one good show in there.
How dare
that's
you?
That's awesome. I'll watch this, though. This sounds good.
Yeah.
This is going to be amazing. I can't believe it's going to be live. This, you know, because NBC has famously repackaged Saturday Night Live for all sorts of primetime specials. You know, it's Thanksgiving, and they'll put all the Thanksgiving sketches on and whatnot. But this is actually going to be live with new performances. Musical guests, Paul McCartney, Kanye West, Justin Timberlake, Taylor Swift, Paul Simon, all among the guests. You want some of the icons from the eras of the program past? How about Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Bill Murray, Jim Carrey, Steve Martin, Dan Aykroyd will all be making an appearance, plus other cast members. How about some of your favorite hosts from the past? Alec Baldwin will be on the show. Christopher Walken will be on the show. Tom Hanks will be on the show. Eddie Murphy is going to be on the show, making his first time back on SNL since he left in 1984. Also, just released, Jack Nicholson will be on the show.
Holy cow.
Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld. I mean, the list just goes on and on. It's like a who's who of entertainment. It's crazy, right?
I'm surprised Bill Murray's doing it.
I am too.
So anti anything from the past. Yeah.
Yes. It does seem almost too normal for Bill Murray to appear at.
What about Chevy Chase? Didn't hear his name.
He is not mentioned here. But I wouldn't be surprised, frankly, if he showed up. Anyway, February 15th, it's going to be a three-hour primetime show on NBC, Saturday Night Live, celebrating its 40th anniversary. And whatever you think about that program, the fact that it stayed on the air for 40 years means that they're doing something right in terms of being able to find new cast members, you know. Because everybody leaves, and they're always able to replace them with somebody else. All right, today's celebrity birthdays. Rock and roll legend Alice Cooper turns 67 years old today. Now he's a devout Christian who spends all of his time on the golf course.
Yeah, he's a golfer.
That's what he does now. Clint Black, who many of us remember from Celebrity Apprentice a couple years ago, very popular country singer as well, 53 years old today. Natalie Imbruglia is 40 years old today. Oscar De La Hoya is 42, and our friend Rob Corddry turns 44 today. And that's the Ralph Showbiz Beat. It's K-Rox World Tour 2015, destination number 4, Hozier in Slane Castle. By the way, he's the very talented young Irishman who sings that Take Me to Church song, if you don't know. He's going to be playing a K-Rox pre-Grammy party this Friday night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. We want you to be there, and we want you to be eligible to go see him in his homeland at Slane Castle. If you want to call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll have to put you on hold for a few minutes, and then we'll give you a chance to earn those tickets in the most painful way possible. So call now if you want to go to Ireland to see Hozier, maybe.
And we're sorry what's about to happen
to you.
We sure are.
That's not going to be fun for anyone.
It's time for Thanks for That Info Bean.
Thanks for That Info Bean.
Bean has Asperger's.
Asperger's is a condition on the autistic spectrum, which makes it difficult for a person to make connections with other people.
Right.
All right, look, you say that, and then I say I don't have Asperger's, and I should know.
But you do this absurd dance where you go, no, I know I tested 99% on the test, but I don't have it.
But here's the thing, guys. We work together in an environment where we have conversation with one another. So if I'm bringing up things that are interesting to talk about at the water cooler, how does that warrant a segment?
Because they're not interesting to talk about at the water cooler. It's a swing and a miss. And I'm not the only one that thinks that. Lisa, in this edition of Thanks for Info Bean, yells at you. We're busy.
All right. What kinds of things are you talking about? Because I suspect I'm going to stand by everyone.
I know you will. And that's the bad part.
That's because you have Asperger's. You can't see it.
We're trying to tell you. Because I write these down verbatim, word for word, so that I can bring them back up. And then what we're trying to tell you is less of this.
Less of this. Okay. Yes. All right. I'm with you.
And we don't need more explanation, which is what you always try to do. So here is a typical Thanks for Info Bean. We're playing a commercial song or something. Bean says, I think I'm going to go visit Casey Kasem's grave.
Crap.
No one says anything, which is the big clue that whatever you're saying is getting no interest. And then you say, is this thing on?
Thanks for That Info Bean.
Honestly, Bean, if I said something and nobody said anything, it would be the biggest, gigantic,
Right.
So you would buy a clue at that point.
Right. But what happens is you don't say those things because you know your audience.
Is it the grave in Norway?
Yes. That's why. That's the double reason why I now have to go. It's in Norway, the country I love.
Thanks for That Info Bean.
Don't care.
But
here's the thing. Don't care.
His kids don't even want to visit his grave.
That's right.
Shut up, Dave. Less from you.
Here is another quote from Bean. I'm watching a video right now on how to make toast with only a cast iron skillet.
Thanks for That Info, Bean.
Well, now, we know that you're obsessed with toast.
Toast is my favorite food in the world.
Right. That's stupid.
I love toast.
But that's dumb, okay? But we also have told you in the past, we don't care that you love toast.
It's just toast. We all know how to make toast.
So now you're telling us
what toast tastes like.
You're telling us that you're watching a video about how to make toast with just a cast iron skillet.
You know what? I could do that without watching a video. How's that?
Thanks for That Info Bean.
Right?
We all eat toast.
We don't care!
I thought you'd be interested to know that perhaps there's an alternate way to make it.
You thought wrong. This segment should be called. You thought wrong.
You thought wrong.
The storm is crazy. Talking about Juno, you know how much he loves the weather. The storm is crazy. Hey, do you guys think that 9 months from now a bunch of kids will be born and they'll all be named Juno?
Thank you, Dave.
No, that's the absurdity that...
what these statements of what you're saying.
I wasn't trying to be funny, but thank you for the laugh.
Thanks for that info beam.
But I was serious.
Thanks for that info beam.
That's a problem.
But guys,
thanks for that info beam.
Let me ask a question.
Don't need further clarification.
I'm not making clarification. I'm just asking a question. Don't you see people like their baby is conceived in Brooklyn and they name the baby Brooklyn. The baby is conceived in Paris and like Michael Jackson.
We understand all of
that. Well, then why don't you think there'll be some Juno babies later this year?
If there are Juno babies, that's irrelevant and not important.
I find it interesting.
Right, that's the problem. Find it interesting quietly. I believe Taylor Swift's Twitter has been hacked. By the way, now he says that knowing. A, that I'm in the room and hate Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Nobody shares his love of Taylor Swift.
I don't follow her.
So now he's giving us the live update of her Twitter being hacked. And nobody says anything after that. And Beat says, there's just random stuff on there. Like, follow my friend, the lizard.
Yeah, so this is no before it had been reported by the press. Right?
This is
news as it's happening live that I'm sharing
with you. Here's the thing. Let's say it's a given. Her Twitter is being hacked. I don't care.
Still don't care.
No.
So you say the red stuff like follow my friend Lizard. Nobody says anything. It's just not normal. Nobody says anything. It's not the stuff that she normally would tweet about. Do you think like on run 5, everybody's going to go, wow, that's interesting.
Thanks for that info beam.
I don't want to say the queen is old. That's how a sentence started. But she's owned more than 31 corgis. This is where Lisa finally has had it with her. Lisa, the nicest person in the world, yells, "We're busy!" And look, you know what Lisa isn't? Busy. She's playing a game on her phone. She just wants you to shut the F up. And then you say, come on, she's old enough to have owned that many pets.
Thanks for that info beam.
My favorite. Shut up. Here's my favorite.
What's your guys' take on the McDonald's fish filet?
Oh, my God.
Okay, so no one says anything. And then Bean says, do you guys get that? And nobody says anything. And then Bean follows that up with, and if you get it, do you like it?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Well.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
We're not going to give you an answer because we don't effing care.
Never are we going to give you an answer to that question.
Well, that seems unnecessarily harsh.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
We have a long career on K-Rock of making bad decisions, but I think this feature is our worst decision
it's
yet.
It's the best ever.
That's what we mean.
You know, there's a lot of people in the record industry right here listening in town this week. It's Grammy week.
Right,
I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a record deal after these people hear me today on the radio singing these perfect songs. They're all hits of the Grammys, and I'm just going to do them better than their original artists, I think.
We want you to go to the K-Rock pre-Grammy party with Hozier this Friday night and be qualified for the grand prize drawing to see him again at Slane Castle in Ireland with a little game we like to call Omaroki.
Hit it, Steve.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
All right, the callers are on the line here. Oh, can I just ask as a favor to them? I'm not saying your singing doesn't sound anything like the real song, but can you at least give them a hint, like tell them what category of Grammy the song you're singing is being nominated for?
Sure.
So at least we have an idea, maybe?
Sure, we'll make it really easy for these people.
All right, Sean. Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to Omaroki. Sorry for what's about to happen. All right, so you us, what do you need, Hero? Do you just need the song title or you need the artist as well?
I think artist and title. Yeah.
Artist and title of the song that Omar is about to sing.
You're going to make it easy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. If you are right, you're going to go into the drawing to win your way into the big party on Friday night. So listen up. Here's out.
All right, Sean. This is nominated for Record of the Year. Ready?
Record of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
You should want a bad bitch like this, huh? Drop it low and pick it up just like this. Yeah. Cup of Ace, cup of Goose, cup of Chris. High heels, something worth half ticket on my wrist. On my wrist?
I've heard that song a billion times. It doesn't sound anything like that.
I thought that was beautiful.
You're not thug like me, Bean.
That's right. You're not thug like him.
Sean, title and artist, please.
Fancy by Iggy Azalea.
Boom!
Look at that. Wow. That was impressive,
like
my friend.
Thank you, Sean.
Please don't encourage him. All right, Sean, hang on. You are in the drawing, my friend. Who's our next contestant?
Next is Megan. Hello, Megan.
Hello. Hi.
Hi there. Welcome to Omaroki.
All right, Megan, this is nominated for Song of the Year. Here we go.
But
I keep cruising. Can't stop, won't stop grooving. It's like I got the music in my mind saying it's going to be all right.
All right, well, I don't like her, but
I'll
shake it off by Taylor
Swift. Yeah.
Boom! That's what it is. Boom! I keep cruising. What now, suckas?
All right, two for two. Very impressive. Who's up next?
Is that a what now, suckas moment?
I think it is.
Jill in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to Omaroki.
Our ears are bleeding. How are you doing? You've been listening on hold. Jill, what's the experience been like for you so far?
Amazing. I'm sitting at work.
All right.
Okay. All right. Good luck. Here's O.
All right. This is nominated for Best Rap Song. Here we go.
He kept telling me it's real, but he loved my sex appeal because he don't like him bunny and he wants something to grab, so he pulled it like the jag and I hit him with the jab like dum da da dum dum.
It's Anaconda by Nicki Minaj.
Yeah! How do we possibly have three for three?
I'm telling you, dude.
This is unbelievable.
Hey, Omar at KROQ.com if you guys want to sign me a record deal.
Sure. Only for serious people, though.
All right, we have to be almost done.
Let's go
who's
to
next.
Eric in Canoga Park. Hi.
Yeah, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Well, good. I mean, everybody's gotten so far, but it's been painful. All right, here's Omar. Yeah.
Nominated for Song of the Year. Here we go.
I'm bringing booty back. Go ahead and tell him them skinny bitches that. No, I'm just playing. I know you think you're fat. But I'm here to tell you, every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top.
Wow.
What say you, Eric?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You are great, Omar.
Right?
I don't know.
Oh!
That's all about the bass. I'm bringing booty back. All right, we got just time for one more. So far, Sean, Meg, and Jill all in the drawing, but let's see who else we can get in there.
Brian in Torrance, hi.
Hello.
Welcome to Omaroki. Good luck with fresh hell.
All right, Brian. This song is nominated for Best Rock Song. Here we go. Ooh,
is this one we played on K-Rock?
It is. It is. Absolutely.
All right, that's a hint. All right.
And even God herself has fewer plans for me, but she never helps me out with my scams for free. Though she grabs a stick and she points it at me. When I say nothing, I say everything. Yeah, when I say nothing, I say everything.
Oh, my God.
Brian, what was that disaster?
Disaster by Linkin Park.
We were looking for Jack White this time around. Even God herself
has zero plans for me. Don't start singing along with it. That's bogus when you do that.
All right, we dropped off a little bit at the end here, but we had a strong start. We've got three, Sean, Megan, and Jill all in the drawing. Who's going to be at the Grammy party with Hozier Friday night and eligible to win the trip to see him again in Ireland? Lisa May, who's our winner?
Our winner's Megan.
Megan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, Megan.
Thank you.
Enjoy the show, and I hope you win the drawing to Ireland.
Thank you.
Good luck. Thanks for playing.
Omaroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Our pal Jimmy Kimmel is doing a new thing in February called Mashup Mondays. So a couple of nights ago, he has Weezer on with ZZ Top performing together, doing Sharp Dressed Man. They call it Weezy Top. So there you see the both bands are on stage at the same time. You see Rivers singing co-lead vocals with Ben Gibbons and with playing guitar on the track. It was crazy.
I love it. I love that crap.
Weezer and ZZ Top on one stage at one time. Only from the twisted mind of Jimmy Kimmel. Speaking of twisted minds, yesterday on the program, I think once an hour, we played our new favorite song called This Sick Beat. The man who wrote it will tell us the story behind it after you hear a little bit of this. It's a little bit of a protest against not just Taylor Swift, but the world in general. Listen up. This Sick Beat. My favorite part. So. Here's where it gets all Zappa on us. And go.
Yeah.
So we were laughing yesterday about how awesome the song is, but it really does speak to a much larger issue that we are not intelligent enough to discuss. So let's go to the man who wrote and recorded the song. Ben Norton is on the line. He is a musician and a journalist and a writer. Peculatemusic.com. Hey, Ben, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I read a lot of what you wrote about this this song and your issue. You are way too smart for us. You're going to have to kind of dumb it down. But the short version of it is you chose these words, this sick beat, for a specific reason, right?
Absolutely.
Tell us about it.
Well, and before I say all this, I'll mention maybe what you had read is on my website, bennorton.com, on my blog, I posted an official statement. So anyone interested in reading about my thoughts in more detail can look at the statement, and it's, you know, pretty meticulous, like about 3,000 words, and I go into all the details about these several issues. But overall, I would say the gist of it is when we're talking about the issue of intellectual property and trademarks and things like that, we should recognize that, you know, this is not a black or white issue, and there are subtleties to it. And I think one of the issues that really crosses the line is trademarking words, especially non-proper nouns. And in this case, this sick beat is an idiom that average people use. And as I say in my statement, I mean, you can go to YouTube and find countless past videos that have this sick beat in the title, et cetera.
Right.
Because it's a common idiom. And I argue that, you know, this is part of common property. It's not something that you can privatize and then profit off of. And that's what Taylor Swift and others are trying to do, is they're trying to take a language that millions of people speak. They're trying to take our idioms and then say that they own them, so only they can make money off of them. And that's absurd. And I draw a distinction. I say, you know, intellectual property is if I make a painting, if I, you know, make a landscape or a portrait or something, that is an actual creative act. But Taylor Swift, and I also say McDonald's and Nike, you know, McDonald's did not make the term "I'm loving it." That is an idiom that tons of people speak. These are not creative acts, so they should not be considered intellectual property. And then I talk about later on that, you know, it's really problematic when people say, you know, they own our language, that is something that really leads to larger issues. And that's why I said in my original statement, which I know you had posted yesterday, I mean, I wasn't being hyperbolic when I said, you know, they privatize land, water, words, next is air. I mean, there are literally instances in which people are privatizing air. And I think one example of this, which I also mentioned, is in 2012, or since 2012, goes on today, but Chen Guangbiao, who is one of China's richest people, you know, he's a millionaire, he's been selling fresh air in, like, cans, like soft drink cans.
And that's because the pollution is so bad in some parts of China?
Exactly.
Is that why?
The pollution is so horrible. And instead of, you know, acting collectively to mitigate and eventually reverse all this pollution, which is horrific and leads to many diseases, his solution is to get air from elsewhere and to put it in a can and sell it to people. So,
well, that seems a little bit different than the issue that you're talking about, which is words. And I'm really fast. I mean, so do you think that you should be able, or I should be able, to make a Let's Do It t-shirt and sell it, and Nike would have no claim against it?
Yes, definitely. I mean, like I said, this is a categorically different kind of phrase than if I actually created a proper noun or I wrote something creative. These are average idioms that people speak every single day of their
life. In other words, this isn't like you came up with the word Microsoft that didn't exist before and used
exactly.
it to name a new company. You don't have any problem with that.
But what you have
a problem with is if Donald Trump gets rich off of somebody else trying to sell a You're Fired t-shirt. That's the problem you have.
Exactly, yeah, because, I mean, he did not invent that phrase. I mean, he popularized it in a particular context, but now everyone else, I presume he has a trademark. I'm not entirely sure, but
he does.
I presume he has a trademark. Now people can't use that in, you know, whatever the object is, in lyrics and songs, in a movie script, on a t-shirt or a backpack or something.
You don't sound like the kind of guy that would make this kind of music.
People say that a lot. I mean, I think the funny thing is, I'll mention this really quickly.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I turned to metal, and there's a lot of misconceptions about metal. Well, for one, metal and hardcore and genres like that have always been very political, and I think it's a good outlet to write political themed music that doesn't seem you know, kind of over the top, or doesn't even seem maybe arrogant in some
right.
ways, just because it's part of the idea. If you're singing electro pop and then you talk about, you know, political issues, it just sounds kind of condescending and strange. And then another reason is just, I mean, I'm also a classically trained musician, and I'm very interested in experimental avant-garde music, as you could tell. I mean, you mentioned Zeppelin.
Oh, it breaks down, man. Look, you did so much with your 2 minutes, man. We love the song, legitimately, like completely aside from the discussion of the issues. We love the song. So you put it up on Saturday. How fast did the reaction start happening?
Well, it actually wasn't really until yesterday. And, you know, my project, I've been joking with people, like, this is the first time an avant-garde extreme metal project's ever going to be featured in Billboard, because their project's always been kind of underground and not very well known. But then yesterday, it got featured in Billboard, and then since then, it just blew up. And it was on, like, the front page of Yahoo News, and BBC called me, and they're asking to interview. So, I mean,
that's pretty awesome.
Just in one day, it exploded. And the first, I mean, I posted on the 31st. In the, you know, the
just
first
Saturday,
day,
yeah.
Nothing really happened.
That's but I mean, that's a good way to get something noticed is to post it the day before our Super Bowl.
So, Ben, do you expect to hear anything from Ms. Swift or her attorneys, or no?
No, I doubt that. Well, I think there's two factors that people are conflating in this, and I think one is that it's critical that people realize. The first one is Taylor Swift has not yet actually trademarked these words officially, legally. She applied in October 2014. She applied for the trademark of these phrases, but they have not yet been accepted by the U.S. Okay. Patent and Trademark Office, meaning
all right.
People can still use it. And even regardless of whether it were trademarked, my use of it, without a doubt, falls under fair use. It's not commercial. It's for the sake of critique and comment and satire. Like, these are all protected under fair use.
If she got the trademark and you started selling it or selling T-shirts or anything like that, could she legally stop you? Yes?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. But one, she doesn't have the trademark. And two, I'm not selling anything.
Right.
This is just, yeah. And I make that very clear. My YouTube account is demonetized. When people download it, it's not available at YouTube, iTunes, or anything that costs money. It's only available for free download.
Well, the song is awesome, and you make some very interesting points. And I, you know, I read every word of what you wrote there at BenNorton.com, and it really does give us a lot to think about. I mean, you do bring up some great points, and you know, you found a great way to bring it to attention. I mean, you know, you could have been a boring guy in a suit trying to talk about the same thing, and no one would listen. But you got this sick beat behind you, and people are interested. So, well done,
that's
sir. BenNorton.com, and you can follow Ben on Twitter at BenJamNorton. Yes, last word. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think one of the points I also make, and people had asked me in interviews what my point was with the song, and it really the point of the song is just to think more critically about what property is, because throughout history we have, you know, very different ideas of what property is, and I'm not trying to compare trademarks to slavery, but I think it's important to recognize that, you know, a little over 150 years ago, human beings were considered property, you know, slaves, and then, you know, women were considered property of the husbands. And this is not nearly as extreme. Fortunately, because people have spoken out against these egregious forms of injustice, they were overcome. But we should recognize that just because, you know, legally people say, oh, this is my property, because they trademark these words, doesn't mean that we should not protest that. And
that's a good point. And by the way, none of us would be surprised if we found out that Taylor Swift is still keeping slaves today, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I'm with you on that.
About that. Could be libel.
All right, Ben. Again, you're too smart for the room, Ben, but we appreciate you coming on. Good luck with spreading the word out there, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
You bet. Take care.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:57.
8 o'clock hour this morning. Not that the 7 o'clock hour is any kind of a slouch, don't get me wrong, but the 8 o'clock hour this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show is going to be an all-timer because one of our favorite live bands, Cage the Elephant, is going to be here. Interview, performance. And then we'll talk to the great Al Michaels, who, by the way, I think, I could be wrong, maybe we'll ask Al, I think he's the only sports broadcaster who has done the Stanley Cup Final, the NBA Finals, the World Series, and the Super Bowl.
Interesting.
In addition to, obviously, the Olympics, horse racing, and everything else that he's done over his incredible broadcast career. So the great Al Michaels joins us later this morning as well here on K-Rock.
I tweeted last night that Al Michaels was going to be on the show, and a guy tweeted back and said, what? Did he lose a bet? I don't know, but I'm just happy he's here.
Anyway, Ralph is out today, but we're taking a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on there, Kevin?
Harry Styles had a birthday.
Okay.
And it was his 21st birthday.
His life doesn't suck, right?
His life doesn't suck at all, yeah.
Well, he's a kid. He's one of the kids in One Direction, if you don't know the name.
Yeah. That would sort of suck. But I guess he's getting all kinds of fame and everything else from it. 21st birthday party. In attendance, Chris Martin, Jennifer Lawrence, Adele, David Beckham, Cindy Crawford, Courtney Cox.
Come on.
They all showed up for his birthday at a club called Isabel.
Really?
He's 21.
Yep. Yes, he is.
What's somebody like David Beckham doing at Harry Styles' birthday party?
Well, I'm guessing these the British tie is all I can think of, is that these are all pretty much
British.
They just
run in the same circles.
I guess. And Nadine Leopold also brought a bunch of Victoria's Secret models with her. So that happened.
Look, I don't know very much about One Direction. They're not really on my radar that much. Is he exceptionally talented, or could it have been anyone else that Simon Cowell decided to pick out for that band? I mean, are these five random guys that have enough, you know, management and star power and songwriting help behind them that they could turn anyone into stars?
I don't know.
Or is he super talented?
I don't have any idea. I know he's cute. I know he's way cute.
He's awfully dreamy. That's for sure. That's a pretty good 21st birthday party. All right, here's a name you haven't heard in a while. His name is Dennis Quaid. He, for many years, was a very well-respected actor. You probably know his brother Dennis Quaid even better. This is Randy Quaid we're talking about here. He was nominated for an Oscar back in the 70s. He played Cousin Eddie in the National Lampoon Vacation series. He was in Independence Day. He was in Brokeback Mountain, Kingpin. Long, long career. But he went crazy a few years ago. You remember that he was in the news. He remember they tried to arrest him for defrauding an innkeeper. He was vandalizing a home that he had rented. Remember he was squatting for a while. He wouldn't leave. He missed a whole bunch of court dates.
Yeah,
and
he's crazy.
He's crazy, right. And he looks like the Unabomber or something. He's got a big bushy beard. He and his wife fled 4 years ago from the United States and have been living in Canada ever since. United States has not tried to extradite them, but they do face arrest if they re-enter the country. Well, he's back on the radar, Randy Quaid is now, because he just put a video up where he is railing against Rupert Murdoch and also against Warner Brothers. Now, I don't know what the claim is that he says that they stole the house that he was living in, but listen to this video that he put up. I mean, it really does look like one of these ISIS hostage videos. It's crazy. He's sitting there in a trailer or something. He's wearing the Hawaiian shirt that he wore in Independence Day and a jacket on and no pants.
Oh, good.
His wife is on the couch behind him. And at one point in the video, he will have her put on a Rupert Murdoch mask and then he will have sex with her on camera. That's what Randy Quaid's doing now.
Wow.
So here's a little piece of that.
Hi, I'm Randy Quaid, and this is my wife, Evie. I help media giants News Corp and Warner Brothers Entertainment earn well over $1 billion for the films Independence Day and Christmas Vacation. What did I get in return? A Warner Brothers exec, Bruce Berman, stole my house. And News Corp's The New York Post continues to smear me to high heaven with a pack of lies.
See, so he's got some sort of feud with Rupert Murdoch, who owns the New York Post.
Right.
I'm not clear what the details are, but I'm Team Murdoch on this one. I'll tell you that.
So how do we retaliate? Well, I still have a few tricks, too. So, Rupert, you want to f*** me? I'm going to f*** you. Evie, put this on.
It's the mask.
Maybe you'll thank me for this.
And then he spits into his hand, and then you can pretty much guess the rest.
All right.
Happens and he
is that would you guess that's effective?
I don't know. I don't even want to think about it, but he does. He's having sex with his wife on the video and he screams out at the end, "I'm back." And again, I don't know what that he means by that, but craziness, right?
I love crazy people.
Randy Quaid. All right, today's celebrity birthdays. How about singer Alice Cooper? He is 67 years old today. I think he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, probably best known for the song School's Out. Rob Corddry, friend of the show, just in last week, turns 44 today. Former boxer Oscar De La Hoya is 42. Comedian Hannibal Buress, 32 years old today, one of the funniest guys on the planet. And you don't know the name, but Chip, you know him well. Kevin Wasserman is 52 today. It's our friend Noodles from The Offspring. We love you, man. Happy birthday, and that's the Showbiz Beat. You're going to find this hard to believe. There's one remaining controversy about the Super Bowl, and it has nothing to do with football. It has to do with, well, it has to do with a parent kissing his child on the mouth.
Yeah.
Which Lisa May is all for, by the way. I just like to point out that Lisa May couldn't have put up a hand faster on that one. But we will tell you the story in about 15 minutes or so here at K-Rock. You don't want to miss it. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup. So tell all the boys and girls, we've got funny and sexy, even music, too. We've got all the greatest videos, and they're mostly on YouTube. Click your mouse in the air like you
Dave, the King of Mexico, producer of the Kevin Abincha. Welcome, sir.
Hi, guys.
Good batch this time around.
I love it.
And I know this first video you only put in there because of Kevin and people like Kevin who love to see things blow up. Yeah. They are trying to fish in Sweden, Kevin. And, of course, you know, all of the water is frozen over. It's just ice.
Yep.
So they light fireworks and let fireworks off underneath the ice. Then they travel about 30 feet and just boom, just blow a huge hole in the ice that they can fish through. It's pretty awesome.
I wish I would have been there. I saw that and I was like, that is so me.
It's such a big...
I predict that at some point in your life, you will find an ice-covered lake and you will try that yourself.
No question.
There are a lot of Super Bowl-related videos this week, and it's very difficult for me to watch them because the pain is still too raw from Sunday night. But here's a fellow Seahawks fan who just can't get over the play calling on the last play that lost the Seahawks the game, and he decides to immediately walk through his television set, destroying it.
You do not throw a pass at the goal line when you have Marshawn Lynch.
I get the feeling of never wanting to watch TV again after what happened on Sunday. Here's a great compilation video of all sorts of people across the country watching the games. Now, you have Patriots fans who realize that they are 1 second away from losing the Super Bowl.
Right.
You have Seahawks fans who realize they are 1 second away from winning the Super Bowl. And both of them are surprised. And the reactions are just one right after another. And this is a great bunch of clips. What are you saying?
God, I can't believe they had the game won. Why?
Here's what I learned. I need to have a camera set up when I'm watching an event.
Yeah,
I was wondering why are all these people taping their friends and family at the football game?
That was the perfect play to tape people because,
of
you know,
you don't know what's coming.
You're taping Patriot fans thinking, ha ha, they're about to lose. Let's tape my friend, you know, be sad. And then that happens, and you're like, oh, you get those reactions.
Oh, so you think it was people, like, playing a joke on somebody.
Yeah, yeah. I think everyone's, like, you know, taping each other just to be, like, either going to get their excitement or get their friends, you know, who are cheering for the Patriots to lose. Because, you know, everyone hates Patriot fans.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Speaking of the Patriots, Tom Brady, who now has won 4 Super Bowls, he did that press conference last week where there were lots of conversations about balls, which Tom seemed very comfortable talking about, by the way. Well, of course, you know, it's not a viral video until somebody songifies it, and they did a great job with it.
Because to me, those balls are perfect. I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, rubbing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like old balls, new balls. They're all different, so you gotta feel them. You gotta squeeze them. To me, those balls are all perfect.
What a lovely, lovely song. Huh?
That's from the Gregory Brothers, who are the originals. You know,
They're the best. They're so good. All right, we leave the Super Bowl behind, but we stay in the great state of Arizona, Kevin. Phoenix, Arizona, your hometown. Here's a weatherman who, I got to tell you, I give him all the credit in the world for thinking so quickly on the fly. They put up the weather map behind him, and all of a sudden, all these towns around Phoenix have temperatures like 1,300 degrees, 1,900 degrees, 2,000 degrees.
Was this a malfunction, or were they playing a joke on
it? Yes, it was a malfunction.
I think it was a malfunction on the graphics department at the weather station, but he just rolls with it, and he does a great job.
And 1,270 in Ahwatukee. Now, I'm not authorized to evacuate Ahwatukee, but this temperature seems pretty high. I think steel boils at about this temperature, so Cave Creek, there's probably nothing left up there right now. So don't even bother looting up there.
There's nothing like live TV. He's a pretty damn good ad-libber, if you want my opinion. All right, here's the best video of the week at the Kevin Abincha Internet Roundup, as far as I'm concerned. This is our friends in Funny or Die. They're kind of parodying that, well, not kind of. They are parodying that Sia video that we talked about a couple weeks ago, the one that has the little
Elastic Heart.
The one that has the little girl in the leotard, and then Shia LaBeouf is in, and they're, like, wrestling each other. And there was even some controversy at the time with people suggesting that maybe it was a little sexual, a little inappropriate to have Shia LaBeouf, a grown man, and this young woman. Well, Funny or Die took it to the next level, and they have the real life To Catch a Predator host, Chris Hansen, come out. And he has a word with the actor playing Shia LaBeouf.
This is Shia LaBeouf, a 28-year-old actor from Los Angeles, California. He claims to be an artist.
What is it that you were planning to do here today?
Just to show the human spirit of dance and just dance with a little girl in a cage with a leotard. Do an art.
Do an art is not even how you would say it. It's not even proper syntax.
Do an art!
You need some help. It was clear there was nothing sexual about this. It was just weird.
I miss To Catch a Predator so much.
I do too, except for it was a pretty
downer
show.
Didn't they stop doing it because one guy like barricaded himself and wouldn't come out to the police and ended up killing himself?
I think that was one of them.
That's a shame. All right, and we close with a couple of videos from the Late Night Jimmys. First up, The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. They do these from time to time where they take footage of Brian Williams, who's the anchor of the NBC Nightly News, and they edit his words together to make him rap. And this time, Brian Williams doing a classic Snoop Dogg song.
Now just throw your hands into mother air and wave the mother like you just don't care. Roll up the dank and pour the drink and watch your step.
Why?
The doggy saw the gang playing that G thing. She want the with the biggest nuts. And guess what? He is I and Diane Kim Slim with the tilted grin. What's my other name?
What story do you think Dank was involved in?
I don't believe that. I think they find a lot of words, but then they have him do the song. So that they can fill it in.
You really do?
I do.
Where are they going to get dank?
Yeah, I mean, Brian Williams has never said the word dank. It's just not a part of news.
Could it be part of another word, like part of the name of a city in Russia or something
maybe,
like that?
Maybe, but doesn't it make sense that they would go, hey, we're 90% there?
I mean, I guess it's possible.
You might be in on the joke now, too. So,
yeah, you're right,
Kevin.
You can't tell when you watch it. You cannot see the edit points.
But they have graphics for every story.
Yeah,
so
they do. It's done well. I like it. It's funny.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. And the better Jimmy, our friend Jimmy Kimmel, had earlier this week, he had a music edition of Mean Tweets, you know, with the Grammys happening. So he gets everybody from Ed Sheeran to Pitbull to Britney Spears, Ariana Grande, all reading mean tweets about themselves. And here's what that sounded like.
Jessie J looks like she takes giant stinky ones, too.
You, Blake Shelton, you inbred hick.
Wiz Khalifa looks like a homeless woman.
Childish Gambino looks like he tried his own a few times. That's fair.
It's funny, though. I mean, it's crazy how big a star Jimmy Kimmel is able to get to do these. I think they just must love it, even though the people are saying the meanest things
about them,
right?
Yeah, I agree, yeah. Yeah.
It's very funny. It's a great ongoing thing that they do. So you can see these videos and all the past videos at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. This has been a Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now, baby, go watch the Internet Roundup. Yeah!
And that's the guy we want you to see at Slane Castle in Ireland. You can still qualify to win tickets to see Hozier this Friday night at the Grammy pre-party from K-Rock and also the trip to Ireland. So keep listening. Your chance to win coming up.
That Grammy Museum, I saw Muse there. Maybe 100 people.
Oh, that's sweet.
Dude. Really small, really intimate, really nice.
And he's a terrific live performer, too. Yep. You'll have a really good time. Speaking of great live music, the band Cage the Elephant next hour, and the great broadcaster Al Michaels as well. All right, one more Super Bowl story, you guys. This one has nothing to do with football. Don't be scared off here. But Bill Belichick, who just won his fourth Super Bowl championship, was by the way, we talked last week, Kevin, about all the prop bets you could make on the Super Bowl. And one of the ones you could make was whether or not Bill Belichick would smile.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I saw him smile right near the end of the game just for a brief second. He cracked a little upward turn on his mouth when they won the Super
Bowl. Wait a minute. When Butler intercepted the pass, he didn't break into any kind of...
It was sometime after that I saw him make the tiniest little smile. He does not show a lot of emotion.
Well, I know, but...
And that, I know, if there's ever a time to break a grin out, it's when you win the Super Bowl. All right, so that being said, there was a little bit of celebration going on the field there in Arizona as he, I almost said open mouth. I can't tell that from the photograph. He straight up, lip on lip, made out with his grown adult daughter.
I think the photo makes it look worse than it is.
Uh-huh.
Probably.
Well, here's Bill Belichick. He's sharing a kiss with his daughter Amanda after the Patriots win. And you can imagine that there are people, some of whom who could just be being unusually harsh on him because they don't like the Patriots,
sure,
or they don't like Bill Belichick, or they just like to complain about stuff. But some of the tweets about it were, Bill Belichick made out with his daughter on the field after the game. What? Bill Belichick kissed his daughter on the mouth. Take their trophy away. That S is gross. AP photographer captures history's most awkward father-daughter kiss. Warning, graphic image, not safe for work. Hashtag Bill Belichick.
You know what's funny is I didn't see it in live time, but
I did not either.
If you just look at the photo, you go, they've been kissing for 10 seconds, and they're going to go for another 30. And I don't know. I'll admit up front, I hate Bill Belichick. I'll admit that right up front. That's so for me. I saw that, I was like, oh, sick. But if it wasn't Bill Belichick, I don't know.
You probably wouldn't care.
I probably would just assume it was a peck. I don't know.
It just looks worse because it's frozen in time.
It does look pretty bad.
And he looks all sweaty and ew.
I don't think we've ever talked about this before, but let's go around the room and get some opinions here. And then we want to take some calls on 1-800-520-1067. Taking Coach Belichick out of the equation, is it appropriate to kiss your adult son or daughter based on the, you know, the sex involved on the mouth, on the lips? Is that okay or no? Are we just uptight Americans if we think that's not okay? Is this something that's commonplace around the world, like the showering top we were talking about yesterday? Or is this just a deal breaker, a no-go for most people in America to kiss your kid on the lips like that? Lisa May, what do you say?
I don't think it's any big deal.
Really?
At all. No. And I do think we're just stupid and uptight.
Well, there's that.
But, I mean, isn't kissing on the lips, isn't that romantic?
There's way different ways to kiss people on the lips. Obviously, the way you kiss your partner is going to be different than the way you kiss your mom.
Unfortunately, you can't tell the difference in this photo.
No, but we don't live our lives for photos, I hope.
All right. Is this something that does this happen in your family, Lisa?
You know, it doesn't happen all the time, but occasionally it does.
All right. How about you, Kevin?
With my mom.
For any length of time?
No. It's just a kiss. You guys know.
No. No.
Really? Never?
I don't think so, but...
And I imagine it's just like some families do, some
families
don't.
Yeah, I would imagine that too, and I would imagine for most of them it's no big deal.
Yeah.
But it's just for me it's a little weird.
And I guess there's no way to say if your mom came out of the blue and just kissed you on the lips. I guess at this point it would seem weird just because that's not your custom. It's not what you've grown up with.
Yeah, that would freak me out now.
Yeah, it would be a freak out. But if it was the way it had always been, I guess it wouldn't bother you. I've never – not only does this not happen in my family, I don't know that I've ever seen it happen anywhere.
But you've also never kissed a human being.
Your parents have never kissed you.
Right.
I don't know that I've ever seen this scenario that is playing out on the field in Phoenix there, in Glendale there. I don't know that I've ever seen that in my real life before.
Yeah, but your real life, I mean, let's be honest, it's one person.
And it's in my house.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't know that this was a thing at all.
Really? I think it's a thing, and I think the people that do it think nothing of it, and there's probably nothing there. And for everybody else, they probably just go, okay, that's a little awkward. And there's probably nothing there as well. But with Bill Belichick, because he's the devil, this is terrible.
And I know that we do live in a world where there are people who are just – they're on the edge of their seat, ready to hypersexualize anything. I mean, there are people who, you know, they let their kids sleep with them until they're 8 or something like that. And people try to make that all icky and sexy. But that doesn't mean it is. You know what I mean?
Right.
For those people, it's not icky and sexy. That's just how they do it, right? And there's nothing untoward about it. I mean, I know that that's the habit, especially on the internet, of people who try to make everything icky. But I don't know how to feel about this. I'm curious what you guys think. 1-800-520-1067. Kissing your adult child on the mouth. Cool? No cool. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 742. Varines? I think I want to say. Varenzi? I don't know how her name is said. But she says it's weird and incesty to kiss your kiss your parent or adult child on the lips.
Well, I think that's what we're all, if we're not saying it, that's what we're all thinking, is it seems like an inappropriate physical display of affection between family members. That's all, on the lips. But a lot of people are disagreeing. For instance, Tiffany writes in, we're talking about Bill Belichick, by the way, kissing his daughter on the field after the Super Bowl win Sunday. My fiance's mom kisses him on the mouth. The first time I saw it, I was really creeped out. But when I asked him about it, he said he was so used to it, he didn't even notice. Later, I talked to a friend who said it's an Italian thing, and her boyfriend's family does it too. Charmaine writes in, hey guys, I read about the Bill Belichick kissing his grown daughter after winning the Super Bowl. I think people have way too much time on their hands to make this a story. As an adult, I kissed my dad on on the mouth, it was the norm. He passed away 3 years ago. I would give anything to be able to kiss and hug him one more time. Look, I hate Bill Belichick, but this story made me smile. I always kissed my mom on the mouth, too, so says Charmaine. So let's take a couple of other calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Renee on line 7, please. She sounds like she might be smart and might be able to teach us a thing or two.
Hey, Renee.
Hey, guys. I love your show. Thanks for having me on, finally.
You bet.
Yeah, I think it's totally okay. Just because an adult child has become an adult doesn't mean the parent-child bond is gone.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I agree, but I think people are freaked out by the lip contact. I mean, maybe he kisses her on the cheek or the forehead or somewhere else.
I kiss my mom on the lips, and like that other lady who wrote in, my dad passed away 15 years ago, and I'd give anything to kiss him on the lips again.
Well,
but I was raised doing it, so it's right. Not a thing for me at all.
All right, so Renee, if it's not sexual, it happens to be physical, it happens to be the same thing that you would do with a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, but in this case, because it's a parent child, there's nothing sexual about it. That's what you're saying, right?
Right. All right. I think it's people
how
who
about
are
if we? Like, how about if we now introduce a little tongue?
Well, then, yes, of course, that crosses the line.
Oh, so that's where you draw the line. I see. Oh, your line is just a little bit further than our line, but you've got a line,
too. That sounds so fast!
Karen writes it, by the way. Looks like Renee. Belichick is copping a feel, too. So how do we deal with
hands.
That?
I mean, I think that's I hate Belichick.
I don't know. All right, let's try Danielle. She's in Glendora. She's a mouth kisser with her whole family. Let's find out what that's about.
Hey, Danielle.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
So you guys all live in some sort of a sex commune, or what's happening?
You know what? Since as long as I can remember, my mom has always kissed me on my. I kiss my aunt, her sister, my sister. We're just lip kissers. I'm teaching my boys to be lip kissers because that's who we are, and it is an Italian thing. I don't know what it is, but to me, it's 100% okay. It's not for everybody.
It's definitely not for everybody.
It isn't for everybody. But you know what? The people are making this. By the way, I hate Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
But, and Tom Brady. Like, they just, oh. But, I mean, but to see that, it's just because it's frozen in time and in a picture. Nah.
So, in other words, Kevin and I didn't see it live, but you suspect if we had seen it live that it would have looked as innocent as a peck on the cheek. It just would have been just a moment in time.
Exactly. My mom passed away a month ago, and I would give anything in the whole world to have that lip on my – have that kiss on my mouth from my mom.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I mean, but everybody keeps using my parent died thing. I can see that because now you're adding a whole lot of extra emotion into it.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to see my dad later, and I'll probably be about 100% sure I'm going to kiss him on the lips because that's what I do.
All right.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
All right. Take it easy.
Okay.
I hope your dad is listening and looking forward to it as much as you are.
I'm sure he is. You know why? Because he's a man in mourning for my mother. So there.
All right. Take it easy.
Right. Well, thank you for having me, guys, and thank you for entertaining me as I drive to work.
All right. You're the best. Stop yelling.
All right, Danielle.
Stop yelling at him. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
The band Cage the Elephant in town for the Grammy Awards Sunday night will be joining us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show next and performing live as well. Love those guys. Very excited that they're back. And then we'll talk to the great Al Michaels, who broke my heart just a few minutes ago.
He didn't.
Aww.
His voice is the stuff of my nightmares, hearing him call that final play at the Super Bowl. Anyway, that's a great 8 o'clock hour straight ahead. Ralph is out sick today. We're taking turns filling in on the Showbiz Beat, and unfortunately, Lisa, it's your turn. Sorry.
Oh, well, I'm doing my best. You know, we haven't talked about Bobby Christina Brown since she was found unconscious. I mean, we know she was revived.
Yep.
But I didn't actually realize till the other day that they put her in a medically induced coma.
Yeah. Now, what are the reasons? I was talking to my wife about this, trying to figure this out. What are the reasons? Like, I hear about medically induced comas if somebody is in a tremendous amount of pain, like a burn victim or something like that. They'll put you in a coma so that you can heal some before they bring you out. What other reasons could there be? Is it a brain damage
thing?
Well,
brain swelling, too.
Oh, brain swelling.
Yeah. And that's what they said in the story, that it was because of brain swelling. So they're hoping that goes down.
So what makes your brain swell if you're underwater in a bathtub?
I don't know.
We are not doctors.
Usually that would be traumatic
injury. I have too
many
questions.
The story is she's in a medically induced coma. Just accept that so we can move on.
And I want to know why.
I don't know. Talk to Dr. Drew.
Okay.
Now she's been moved to a top neurological clinic in Atlanta. And one of the family friends said that her eyes moved fluttered a little, and they're hoping that that's not just a reflex, but that it was actually intentional.
That's a sad story.
But another thing that's come out is that Bobby Christina Brown is not really married to her brother.
What?
Nick Gordon.
But she was married to her brother.
Yeah, and they've flashed rings and called each other husband and wife, but a family statement says that, to correct earlier reports, Bobby Christina is not and has never been married to Nick Gordon.
And by the way, that is interesting. This is a young man who was raised as basically her stepbrother.
Yes.
That they grew up together, but ended up getting married, or so we were told. But the reason that's so significant now is he can't visit her in the hospital.
Oh, I see.
And I hear there's battling among the families, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is an awful story.
But, by the way, also, if she did, and I don't think she will, I think she'll be fine, but, I mean, there's a fortune at stake here, too, right?
Is she the one who inherited Whitney Houston's
money? I would imagine.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's getting good, I believe.
So, yeah. So your chances of running into Beyonce at Whole Foods are getting better. If you shop in Beverly Hills anyway, she and Jay-Z are living in a hotel in Beverly Hills, but looking to buy an estate on the west side, Beverly Hills, Holmby Hills, Bel Air. They've been looking at some homes. So far, they haven't found the perfect fit. I'm sure that'll be difficult, but they have enrolled their three-year-old already in school. So it looks like they're definitely going to stay. That school is $15,000 a year. She's three! What can they be teaching her?
Can you also
$15,000?
Can you also imagine being able to afford any house you look at?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not a factor. You don't have to worry about the payments or. You can just go, okay, we'll take it. Here's a check.
Yes.
You just drive around Beverly Hills and find the nicest house you can and say, we'll take that one.
You can probably get a family to move out.
Yeah.
You know, really.
True. You out, us
you
in.
You could pick any home you want.
That's true.
Isn't that amazing?
So if you miss Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy, and I know a lot of people do, and some people were disappointed when he pulled out of 50 Shades of Grey.
But, good move, by the way.
Yeah, totally a good move, because that is just going to blow. But now he's been cast in a show called The Lost City, The Lost City of Z. Which apparently this role was initially linked to Benedict Cumberbatch and maybe even Brad Pitt, but Brad Pitt's movie production company is doing it. It sounds fascinating. So he's going to play Colonel Percival Fawcett. He's an explorer who disappeared in the jungles of Brazil in 1925. He was searching for a fabled lost city of riches, and he called it Z. Sienna Miller is going to be in it. She's going to play his wife. Robert Pattinson will play one of his traveling companions.
Well, that's a misstep.
Wow. It sounds kind of cool.
That's a misstep
well,
right there.
Well, he's a good actor. Yeah. He can be good.
Mm-hmm. By the way, next to Charlie Hunnam?
This Charlie Hunnam, by the way, to me, seems like he has what it takes to be a movie star, too.
Oh, I agree.
He really does. Yeah. He's a terrific, as long as they don't let him do his California accent anymore, he's a terrific actor and not too hard on the eyes, and I think he in the right project, he'll be great.
This is really sad. It seems like celebrities cannot die without their families going to battle over their estate. And this is Robin Williams' family.
Oh, no.
So his last wife was his wife of 3 years. I don't know what the relationship was with the wife and the kids.
Obviously,
they weren't her kids. But, yeah, there's a problem. Because in Robin's trust, it granted his children memorabilia and awards and some other specific personal items. And now the wife is accusing them of taking items without her permission, basically sort of like going through the house and stripping it of things. And her lawyers are saying that since Robin intended for his wife to continue to live at their, is it Tiburon? Is that how you
That's
say
right.
that?
That's right, yeah.
Tiburon home. It makes sense he only intended for his kids to have personal items that were kept at another house that he owned in Napa, and not the stuff that was in the house that she's living in.
That's ugly.
So now they're all fighting, and they're saying that she's denying them what he had set out very specifically in his trust, and it's just it sucks.
This is why before you die, kids, you should burn everything you own.
Oh, that's good advice. That's good advice. I like
remember
that.
Remember that. Okay, good idea. And celebrity birthdays. Alice Cooper is 67. Noodles from Offspring is 52. Woo-hoo. Yes. Archie, you're going to be celebrating, Chip.
Sure,
Rob Corddry, we love him. He's 44. Oscar De La Hoya is 42. And Hannibal Buress, comedian, is 32 years old. And that's the Showbiz Beat.
The 57th Annual Grammy Awards air this Sunday night at 8 on CBS. One of the bands that's going to be sweating it out in the crowd, waiting to find out if they win a Grammy, is Cage the Elephant. We got a couple of guys from the band in studio with us. Right now, I think Matt is here. Jared is here. Hi, guys.
How's it going? How are you?
And the rest of the guys are down the hall in the Red Bull Sound Space, where you'll be performing later. Who's sick? I understand you guys are down a man.
Brad, he caught some kind of stomach bug thing or something
Matt's
like that.
Matt's brother is sick.
Yeah.
That's going around.
You can't come back from that, man, these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's done.
It's going around.
It's a death sentence.
Should have got vaccinated.
You didn't take him to Disneyland, did you? Because everyone's getting sick going to Disneyland these days.
Yeah. I actually did. Crap.
There it is.
See?
There it is.
That's how it goes.
All right, listen, I mentioned the Grammys. You guys are professionals. You're on your third album. You've been around for, you know, how long? 10 years, whatever it's been you've been playing together. But it's still, it's got to be like a dream come true when the phone rings or however you find out that you've been nominated for a freaking Grammy. Tell me about that day for you guys.
I was actually sleeping in my bunk, and our bass player came in and pulled up in my curtain and woke me up and was like, dude, we're nominated for a Grammy. And I thought he was joking with me, so. But he wasn't, and it's pretty cool. I don't know. Actually, I'm just trying to keep my focus so that I don't cry, you know, for in any scenario. At
please
the
cry.
You know,
I would love it if you would cry. That would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, you know, like the odds are that you don't win a Grammy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's just the odds. And so you don't want to cry if you don't win, because that's even worse. You know, like at the Super Bowl, you see a couple players that when they lost, they're like, you can tell they're convincing themselves not to cry.
Here's what you should do, though, is if you don't win, if they announce somebody else, you should stand up and storm out.
Yeah.
This is bull.
Go up and accept it anyways.
Oh, good.
like in Zoolander.
Yeah. Hey, guys. You know, you're right, because 80% of the people in every category are losers. I mean, that's
exactly. That's what I'm saying. The odds are against you.
Now, let me ask you about this, and forgive me if this is too deep a question for this hour of the day, but are you comfortable with music being judged like this? Like, is it fair for somebody to say that your album is better or worse than Jack White's album or Arcade Fire album, or is it kind of a ridiculous premise to begin with?
I feel like if it was a majority of people in America actually voting on it, then it's probably fair.
Right.
You know, if there's a poll.
If there, you know, as long as it's not like 12 people around a table, like, all right, who's the best, you know? If it was the majority of America, then I think it might be a little bit
What if you, like, campaigned for it, though? Like, you went out and handed out suckers or whatever, knocked on doors.
Do
like,
people hand out suckers?
Yeah, I really want you guys to, like, believe in our album.
Yeah, we got people standing on street corners with signs.
It's definitely an honor to be nominated. You know, when you first start making music, I don't think it's something at the forefront of your mind to, like, gain accolades or acknowledgments or whatever. You know, when you first start writing music, it's to kind of to express some of the inexpressible feelings that, you know, are in the human heart and
all
that
stuff.
Yeah, and that, too.
Well, you still have those childhood dreams of, like, you know, making Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, winning a Grammy. when you're starting up in the basement, you have those thoughts.
It's funny because I don't know that's true for everybody. I think
it wasn't for me, honestly.
I think like that's so far removed from where you probably are starting at that moment.
Oh yeah, but it's one of those dreams.
Crazy, right?
When it does happen, you're like, oh my god, you know, 10 years later.
Well, Matt said,
I'm like, man, I just wanted to, like, you know, write music and find escape. And Jerry's like, man, I'm trying to be famous.
Matt's lying. We've been playing together for 16 years, and we've had many conversations when we were teenagers about being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, dude.
Winning a Grammy.
Whatever. There was one time where we were at CeCe's Pizza, and we just played a show. Actually, it was like a high school
Battle of the Bands. Yeah.
And we had came in, like, second place amateur level.
So we won the amateur level.
Okay, so there was our high school had a pro level and an amateur level, and we won the amateur level. And we were eating pizza, and these girls walked by and looked at us, and we're like, they're looking at us because they know our band.
Yeah.
That's what everybody.
They were probably like, oh, that pizza looks good, and they're like, maybe we should grab a slice.
We are talking with the guys in Cage the Elephant here. They'll be performing live in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, congratulations. Your song, Sarah, Daydreams, is number one on the National Alternative Airplay chart right now, which is awesome. I'm the only one applauding, but we all support you on that, too. You're also appearing on the Conan Show tonight. While I'm on that that mindset here of doing all the TV shows and the interviews and the traveling and the bills that you've played on, has there anyone that you've met in your travels who you have been starstruck by, like you just couldn't believe you were in the same location as fill in the blank Paul McCartney, whoever it was?
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, you remember
Adam Sandler?
When we first met him, I introduced myself to him as Cage the Elephant, and he didn't know our band, so he thought it was like some stage name like Dragon. He was like, "Nice to meet you, Cage the Elephant." I was like, "Oh no, that's my band." Blah blah blah. He's really cool. He ended up sticking around and checking it out. It was on Letterman.
Plus, he's like exactly. In real life, he is how he is in his film. So it's like, oh my God, it's Billy Madison.
He really does wear. You feel like he wears his own clothes in his movies, don't you?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It looks
exactly
crazy.
The same.
Plus, I've seen so many of his movies and stuff. When you see his face, it's like one of those.
I think I was that way about Dave Grohl too, though. When I met him.
Yeah, I can imagine if you're in music, Dave Grohl's got to be.
Yeah.
Amazing. He's going on the K-Rock Mount Rushmore of all time. I mean, he's just
he's amazing,
incredible.
Dude.
So, all right, so Conan tonight, and then you hop in the van and you head down to the observatory in Santa Ana. You're performing down there. That show is sold out.
Are you still in a van? Because Bean said you hop in a van.
I think so.
Okay.
Maybe it's a luxurious van.
Yeah, it's a really nice van.
It's got bottles
though.
Of water.
Right. It's got mirrored ceilings. And
oh, sweet.
Yeah.
A disco
and then
ball.
Tomorrow Red and flies. Friday, you're going to be playing two more sold-out shows. That's at the Tower Theater in downtown L.A. Those shows are also sold out. So it's been a while since you've been here in Southern California. It sounds like people missed you.
Well, we missed them, too, so that's why we're doing this.
Your album came out a year ago December?
October.
A year ago October.
Yes.
So is it bizarre to be thinking about getting an award for it now?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's...
The way the album process goes, too, you know, you spend a year promoting it, so I'm just glad we released it in time to be nominated.
Right, exactly. Well, we are going to be pulling for
you. It was all part
you.
Of the strategy.
That's good strategy.
Yeah.
We're going to be pulling for you this Sunday night on CBS on the Grammys. I hope they'll at least show you in the crowd, right? At a minimum.
Yeah,
show you in the crowd.
Totally.
So if you don't win, at least you get to be on
Unless
TV,
you're, like,
right?
Doing something like picking your nose or something. Then you don't want to be shown in the crowd.
Although Jared wants to accept it, so.
Yeah. I'm just going to accept
Storm
every
the stage.
Award.
I like it.
It doesn't matter what category.
Best female pop.
Yes.
We did it.
Dude, you could totally take Ariana Grande. Seriously. You can knock her down and grab that Grammy.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to.
Well, listen, we love you guys. It's always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're so glad you stopped by today. And we're going to walk down the hall, if that's okay, to the K-Rock Red Bull Sound Space and hear a little live music. How's that sound?
That's sounds awesome.
We're going to run down the hall.
All right. We'll be right back. We'll be right behind you after this on K-Rock. We are down the hall from the main studio in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock with the band Cage the Elephant in town, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, for a whole bunch of sold-out shows in Santa Ana and in downtown L.A. They are nominated for a Grammy this weekend, so good luck, guys. Kevin, what are you seeing? What are you doing?
I'm in the Red Bull Sound Space. With Cage the Elephant, and I believe I'm going to perform with them. Is that right?
Yeah. All right, I will look forward to hearing that.
Actually, I was just going to dance on the side.
All right. Good enough. You guys are going to perform live a couple songs here?
Yes.
What do you got for us first?
Cigarette Daydreams. Did you stand there alone? Oh, I cannot explain what's going down. I could see you standing next to me. In and out, somewhere else right now. You sigh, look away. I can see it clear as day. Close your eyes, so afraid. Hide behind that baby face. Yesterday, as I recall, you were looking out of place. Yeah,
gathered up your things and slipped away. No time at all, I followed you into the hall. Cigarette, daydream. You were only 17, so sweet with the mean streak. Nearly brought me to my knees.
Cage the Elephant, right?
Pretty strong.
Kind of caught me by surprise with that ending, you guys. That is Cage the Elephant live at the Red Bull Sound Space from their latest album called Melophobia. That is outstanding, outstanding stuff. That's why you're nominated for a Grammy, man. Hey, glad you guys are here. Have fun while you're in Southern California. Enjoy the big show. We got time for one more, if you wouldn't mind honoring us with that.
Cool. This is come a little closer. We'll be right back.
Did it again.
There you go.
Two for two, you guys. Two for two.
Be watching Sunday night. Best alternative album. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for performing live. Thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sports Illustrated has declared our next guest maybe the best all-around play-by-play announcer ever. I'm not convinced, Kevin. I don't think we've seen Al Michaels do enough games.
How do you judge?
How do you judge so far? Not enough tape. He's only done the Super Bowl, the World Series, the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Final, all three legs of the Triple Crown, numerous college football and games, and, of course, a little thing called the Olympics. Al Michaels has a new book out that is awesome called You Can't Make This Up. He'll be signing it at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove in L.A. today at 7 p.m. Welcome the great Hall of Famer Al Michaels to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, listen, with Sports Illustrated, don't believe everything you read.
All right.
Whatever it is. And they keep forgetting that I once did motorcycles on ice in Insel, West Germany. So forget about that.
Wait a minute. You announced motorcycles on ice?
Believe it or not, it's in the book.
That's awesome.
That was one of my first ever assignments when I joined ABC in 1977. And, you know, Wide World of Sports went around the world. And in those years, they did something crazy called Motorcycles on Ice, which I thought at that time was the most amazing event I'd ever seen. I wanted to bring that to the United States. You know, you have a quarter-mile track. It's a speed skating oval outdoors in the Bavarian Alps, and it started at about 8 o'clock at night, but it's the greatest tailgate party of all time. It starts at 3 o'clock in the parking lot, and it was the world schnapps capital on that particular day. So
that's amazing.
That's how I cut my eye teeth at ABC.
Now, did you get that assignment because you were the new guy or because you were experienced?
Well, I was a pretty new guy at that point. You know, Jim McKay, who hosted that show for a million years, I loved the guy. He was fantastic. He was
legend.
He was like your favorite teacher in school. That's how I once described him, because he'd make everything so much more interesting.
Right.
So he would have that event once in a while. Chris Schenkel would have it. But, yeah, I did get that event and things like the World Ski Flying Championships, because I was the new kid on the block. Let's put it this way. They weren't going to send Howard Cosell over there.
Right, sure. And by the way, you mentioned Jim McKay. You mentioned Howard Marcel, John Madden. They're all in the book. You've got so many great stories in and out of the broadcast booth. Al, the book is called You Can't Make This Up, and this couldn't be a better week of the whole year to be talking to you, because you saw something pretty remarkable Sunday night with your own eyes. In fact, your voice is the nightmare that I wake up to every night when I recall the end of that Super Bowl game. When you can't make this up, I mean, that's what we love about sports, is that you walk into that booth to call just another game. You have no idea whether it's going to be one of the most amazing things you've ever seen or not, right?
That's why we love sports, because you have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, I've done 9 Super Bowls now. 5 of them have gone down to the last 30 seconds.
Wow.
3 of them were total routs, and 1 was a pretty good game, which was the Seattle-Pittsburgh game in Detroit about 9 years ago. But you're right. You walk in there, and, you know, we're driving out the other day, and we're all ready. You know, we have all of our stories. We know what to do, but now we're at the beck and call of the game. So, and that game started out, I thought it was a pretty good first half. It was the end of the first half was great, because each team was able to score. At the end, we go in tied at the half. That's all we want. What you don't want, obviously, is 24-0.
Right. Yeah. You don't want last year.
No, you don't want. Oh, God, no. That was. I felt so bad for Joe Buck and Troy Aikman and the crew, because, look, you only get this every 3 years, so you want it to be terrific. And, you know, I'm fortunate. The last 3 that I've done, Arizona, Pittsburgh, New England against the Giants, and this game, have all gone down to the end. It's fantastic.
Look, that's the Al Michaels factor. That's why.
I know you've seen everything in sports, but how did you not lose it on Sunday night? I mean,
well, you just stay in the game, and look, we understood what was happening. It was obviously a bad call. And I'll tell you what, guys. I look at it this way. It's not so much run or pass at that point. Because, you know, everybody's saying, oh, they should have given it to Marshawn Lynch. That's easy to say. Lynch had 5 carries this year from the 1-yard line. He didn't get in on 4 of them. And I saw a statistic that, and you can make too much of numbers, but it's easier to get into the end zone with a pass from the 1-yard line than a run. Okay, so I understand, not the best call, probably should have run it now, you know, in hindsight. But the one thing I would say that's more damaging than run or pass was the actual pass play itself. If you have a 5'10 quarterback in the pocket with, you know, 8 guys up on the line, and you're trying to run a pick play and you're trying to throw the ball on a slant over the middle, I question that.
In tight coverage, yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, right. The one pass play that, you know, you may have thought about is you take your 6'5 receiver, Chris Matthews, you line him up outside, and you try to throw a fade to him. So he either catches it, or you put it out of the range of the defensive back, or it's incomplete, which stops the clock.
I was fascinated by Chris Matthews and thought during the game, this story is going to be the story of the Super Bowl. Of course, not knowing what was coming.
Yeah, it was at one point. I mean, he was on his way to maybe winning the MVP award at one point. But you know what? What they did, too, is he was beating Kyle Arrington, the defensive back, on
right.
his two long plays. And they took Arrington out, and that's how Butler pretty much wound up in the game at that point. They had Logan Ryan on him at one point as well. But it's so fascinating. I mean, this is why sports is so great. You've got Darrell Revis, one corner, maybe the best, certainly in the conversation. Brandon Browner is terrific. And by the way, Browner made a great play at the end because what he did is he jammed a curse on that play.
That's right.
What they really wanted to do is, you know, run a pick play, a rub, a pick, whatever, to take the defensive back out of the play. But by Browner hitting Curse, who's coming off the line of scrimmage, it let Butler come in from behind
right.
and get to get to Lockett at the end of when the ball got there. So this is why we love sports. We go back, we look at this thing. You know, everybody's saying, "Oh, it's the worst call of all time." Well, yeah, the way it turned out, it was a pretty bad call.
I think it's a bad call if they make it. I think it's a bad call. I do. I just think it's gambling.
But you'll take it.
I'd take it if I was a fan. Yeah. But let's talk about all the sports. Which is the most difficult? Because you've done them all. Which is the most difficult for you to announce?
Hockey. It moves so fast. And look, I love hockey. I've been a King season ticket holder for 23 years. You know, our cup's runneth over right now,
yep.
which is great. But,
well, not in the last month, but go ahead.
Well, no. The deal with the Kings, I think, right now is the Kings have played three full regular seasons the last 3 years, plus another season.
Yeah,
right.
So many playoff games, so maybe they're a little tired right now. I don't know. But, if they don't make the playoffs, what can we do? I'll take two Stanley Cups every 3 or 4 years. But hockey's tough, especially on a radio, because there's so little scoring. And it's difficult. You know, radio hockey, I think, is the hardest. Because it's hard to follow it in your mind's eye. A baseball game, you can see it in your mind's eye. Football,
sure.
as well. Basketball, a team has possession, so you can follow that too. But in hockey, you may change possession 4 or 5 times in 20 seconds. So it's hard for you to get your brain around, where's the puck? And what's happening? So I think hockey's the toughest. Very little scoring.
It's a great
very
point.
Quick action. I really respect the guys who do this well.
We're talking to Al Michaels on the phone. His book is called You Can't Make This Up, Miracles, Memories, and the Perfect Marriage of Sports and Television. It's out now, available everywhere. You can meet Al at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove in L.A. Go to their website for all the details and wristbands and lineups. Al, speaking of hockey, take us back to 1980. You're 36 years old. We all know what your call meant to us in that Olympic hockey game with USSR versus America. How did that change your life?
Well, I was 35. Let's get this straight.
Sorry. I apologize.
Number one, I didn't become 36 until November of that year. It's funny. When it happened and it took place, and, it was a phenomenal event. But I got to tell you something, guys. It's almost become bigger through the years.
Yeah.
Because at that time, yes, it made the country feel better about itself. We all know the issues that were surrounding what was going on in the Cold War at that point. But I think even now, I just see eyes light up of kids who've been told this story by their fathers or their grandfathers, have seen the tape, have watched the game, have watched the documentary HBO did in 2000.
Which was great.
And then the movie Miracle.
Yep.
Which, coaches use to inspire teams like the night before in a meeting. But I love the way, one of my favorite things is I'll have like a 45 or 50-year-old father will come up, and he's got his son in tow, who may be 16 or 17. But the kid, who obviously wasn't born at that time,
right?
The kid just loves hearing the story. Has pictures, has a book of what took place that day, and they want something signed, and they always ask, can you sign? Do you believe in miracles? And I'm happy to do it. You know what, guys? It's one of these things, and I've said this before, where if most people remember who saw it, where they were when they saw it.
Right.
And you think about it. I mean, if you're old enough, to remember Pearl Harbor, terrible. Kennedy gets assassinated, horrible. Challenger blows up, horrible. 9/11, of course, the worst. So this is where people, you remember where you were. This is the one thing that people remember where they were. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's glowing.
Yeah, you're right. I can't believe we're almost out of time, Al. I hate this. I wish we could talk to you all day long. But I have to close with this. Your personal boyhood hero, Vin Scully, is still behind the microphone at 87 years old. Is that going to be you, or at some point are you going to be able to walk away?
Here's the deal, guys. Vinny and I were at a banquet about a year ago, and we each got an award. And I got up, and I looked at him, and I said, so let me get this straight. I grew up wanting to succeed you someday as the voice of the Dodgers. Now, here I am, just going to retire before you. That's not going to happen. God bless him. He's the best.
He is the guy that inspired you, right?
Oh, yes. No question about it. I was 6 years old when I walked into Ebbets Field, and Vinny was just starting his career as the number three guy on a team that included Red Barber at the time.
Wow.
You know, I can't believe it. I'm driving along at this point in my life, and I can hear, you know, Vinny in my ear when I was a child.
That's unbelievable. I mean, it really is unbelievable. And I know you run into people who are established broadcasters who are making a good living, being a professional, and they grew up on you. Same story, Al. I mean, it's that's how it works.
That's very frightening, guys. I got to tell you.
The book is outstanding. If you love sports or you love great stories, and there's so much more than we've even been able to touch on. It's called You Can't Make This Up, The Miracles, Memories, The Perfect Marriage of Sports and Television. Get it wherever books are sold or online. Barnes & Noble tonight at the Grove in L.A. at 7 to meet the great Hall of Famer Al Michaels. Thanks so much for the time, sir. We really enjoyed it.
Good fun.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lisa. It's a world-famous K-Rock at 8:55.
By the way, didn't get a chance to mention this, the long storied resume of Mr. Al Michaels, who we just had on the program. He is in the Guinness Book of World Records, I believe, for the most live hours of television of any human.
Yep.
Because of all the sports that he's done. Lisa, you have seen fewer of those hours than anybody, yet you were still impressed with him.
Yes, he's a fascinating
guy. He's unbelievable.
Yeah. I feel like you could talk to him for 3 days straight, 24 hours a day. He'd be tired of it, but you never would.
I think
exactly.
You're right.
Anyway, that was a great deal of fun to talk to Mr. Michaels. And before that, we had Cage the Elephant in studio. And as the guys were leaving today, they gave us a pair of sold-out tickets to their show tomorrow night at the Tower Theater in downtown L.A. So if you heard Cage this morning and love them like we do, call right now, 1-800-520-1067, caller 20. You win tickets to go see Cage the Elephant. That's tomorrow night at the Tower Theater from K-Rock.
Lindsay Lohan.
Guilty.
And her mother.
Also guilty.
Are suing Fox News.
Oh, now I don't know who to root for.
On the Sean Hannity show, TMZ is reporting Michelle Fields said Lindsay Lohan's mom is doing cocaine with her. They're both suing to say that that is defamatory and not true.
Hey, I'm no lawyer, but it seems like that's a pretty heavy charge if you can't prove it. To say two people are doing cocaine, if you can't prove that, then I think you're pretty liable for saying that on TV.
That's a lot of the problem. Like, you'll see photos of people doing drugs, but then you go, okay, can you prove that's cocaine?
Right.
Obviously, everyone knows it is or believes it is, but can you prove it?
Right.
It's a big difference. So they're suing Fox News.
But Fox News did retract it. Took it off their website and apologized. And they're still suing.
Yep. They're still suing. Yeah, exactly. Interesting. While we're talking about spoiled brats, Conrad Hilton is in the news. Now, a lot of people haven't heard about Conrad. He's not nearly as famous as his sisters, Nikki and Paris. But he's in that family. He is, he's got to be worth a gazillion dollars. He's 20 years old. Here's an incident that happened on an international flight back in July of last year, but he just got arrested this week for it. He went berserk on a plane from London to Los Angeles, began screaming and threatening flight attendants, punching the walls, punching near the flight attendants' faces. In fact, he got so out of control that when he finally dozed off, the pilot ordered the people on the plane to handcuff him to his seat so he couldn't get up.
Oh, my God.
So that's a party right there. He was screaming things like, if you want to square up to me, bro, then bring it and I will effing fight you.
Wow.
Again, sounds just like Kevin and many of the live broadcasts we've done over the years.
How dare you?
I am going to effing kill you, he screamed at one point. I will effing rip through you. Here's my favorite from a really rich guy. I will effing own anyone on this flight. They are effing peasants. I mean, I guess if you grow up an a-hole Hilton, you just think that you can buy the world, right? Because you're so rich.
But you can't by people, right?
No, you can't.
Okay, all right.
Although he did tell the flight attendants that he could have all of their jobs taken away in less than 30 seconds. I would like to put a timer on see how he would do that. He was so out of control with the screaming and the yelling and the punching that children on the plane were crying. You can imagine it was just a mess. As I mentioned, he was handcuffed. And he put himself immediately into rehab when he landed in Europe. And, you know, I thought that would have been the end of it. But no, he got arrested this week and charged for getting violent with the flight attendants. So his attorney, by the way, is Robert Shapiro, who you may remember from the OJ case. He claims that Conrad Hilton had taken a sleeping pill before the flight. he wasn't himself. He says, check it out. There are numerous news reports and cases of people experiencing adverse effects, aggressive outbursts, and he is suggesting that's what happened here. All this,
same for everything I've ever done,
according to TMZ.com. So he's a dick, right?
He's a dick.
He really is a dick. Yeah. Harry Styles,
guilty.
Had a birthday party. His 21st birthday party. Us Weekly is reporting the different celebrities that were there, including Chris Martin and Jennifer Lawrence.
Now, what are they hanging out with a teenager practically at his birthday party? What's that about?
I don't know.
Did they bring their kids?
I don't know the answer.
Oh, that's a great question, Lisa.
Adele was there. Mm-hmm. David Beckham was there. Cindy Crawford.
They've all got kids, you guys.
Courtney Cox.
I wonder if that's what it is. Mommy, take me to the One Direction guy's house.
Victoria's supermodel Nadine Leopold brought a bunch of Victoria's Secret models.
No longer an appropriate party for children.
True.
And that's his 21st birthday party.
Yeah.
Does it all go downhill from here?
It does. Yes. I hope he looks around and just really soaks that night in and goes, all right, just make a note. This is as good as it gets.
And he may be lucky and continue his, you know, superstardom, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You don't know whether he's the next Justin Timberlake or is he the next Joey Fatone. You can't tell when you're in a boy band what's going to end up happening with your career. We were talking about the Super Bowl with Al Michaels a minute ago. By now, you've heard that it's the most watched event in all of TV history. In case you're curious, Kevin, the Puppy Bowl had itself a pretty good ratings day on Sunday as
Yeah, it's funny. I wasn't.
More than 17 million people tuned into the Puppy Bowl. Now, it's a little... It's a little unfair to say that because it ran for 12 full hours. So over the course of 12 hours, 17 million people tuned into the Puppy Bowl. It was the number one program on cable other than sports on Sunday. It's up nearly 50% from last year.
Are you still talking about the Puppy Bowl?
Puppies!
And here's the best news for you, Lisa. Yes. Approximately 425 pet adoptions happened as a result of the Puppy Bowl from rescue groups and animal shelters across the country.
Isn't that the best?
All right. Why don't you just mention that? That's good news.
That's
then we can
so
move
cool.
on
and leave the rest of it out. Anyway, it is weird, by the way. I saw a list from our friend Michael Snyder. I don't have it in front of me. Michael Snyder from TV Guide put up a list of all the other shows that got big ratings, 500,000 people or more, that weren't the Super Bowl. And it's just so funny to see the list of things that people were watching. I mean, there were more than 500,000 people watching a rerun of Columbo on MeTV while the Super Bowl was going on.
That's bizarre.
It is crazy, right?
It's weird to think, though, but I know a lot of people aren't into sports or aren't into football, but it's sort of
Columbo?
It's sort of hard to not be in a group of friends where anyone cares.
Exactly.
That's strange to me.
Today's celebrity birthdays, some good ones. Our friend Rob Corddry is 44 years old today and is still dead sexy. Also, comedian Hannibal Buress, who's not only one of the funniest guys in the world, he's the one who single-handedly brought down Bill Cosby. So well done, Hannibal. Former boxer Oscar De La Hoya is 42 years old today. Our friend Noodles from The Offspring, 52. Yeah! Way to go, Noodles. And Alice Cooper turned 67 today, and that's the Showbiz Beat. Adam Carolla on the line. You can see him on stage Thursday, February 12th at the Irvine Improv with the hilarious Greg Fitzsimmons. Also, he'll be appearing at the Ice House in Pasadena with Dr. Drew on the 24th. Before we get to this week in Rage, Ace Man, good morning, first of all. How you doing?
Morning, man.
Ralph Garman is out sick today. Kevin was out sick for a couple days last week. Lisa May was out sick for a couple days recently. But, Ace Man, I understand you never get sick, and you have to share that here in the cold and flu season. What's going on with you?
I never get sick for two reasons.
All right.
One is I never wash my hands. I never use any antibacterial anything.
No, he's smart.
I realized that Purell stuff was going to be the death of all of us the day it came out, and I've never gotten near it. Every time someone says, oh, no, I'm sick, don't shake my hand, I go, put her there, pal. I said to my son, there's a sort of famous story. I said to my son, guess who never gets sick? Guess why mommy was sick last week? I said, guess who's never sick in this family? He said, you. I said, why? Why? He said, because one time... This is a story I told him many years ago. I was walking on the tarmac to catch a Southwest flight at the Burbank Airport. I had an almond. I was eating almonds, and there was a pigeon on the ground. And I threw the pigeon my almond, and the pigeon walked over, picked it up in its beak, held it there for a beat, decided it wasn't for he or she, and dropped it back down on the tarmac.
And you ate it.
And I ate it. There's two reasons, everybody. Listen to me. There's two reasons why Adam Carolla never gets sick. One is for the aforementioned reasons. Two is I can't get sick.
What does that mean?
I'm going to sell out the Irvine Improv
with Richard Simmons.
What are we going to do? Return 500 tickets? I'm going to be in San Jose doing two shows in a theater. There's going to be 1,400 tickets sold. What am I going to do? Return the tickets?
But you don't. It's not like you. It's not like a choice where they say, "Hey, would you like to get sick or not?"
How many days of school did you miss because you were sick? I'm holding my fingers up in air quotes right now.
You mean fake sick? A lot.
Just sick.
Oh, not very many.
All right. I am saying eliminate the possibility of you not showing up.
All right.
And it's gone. You start filming a TV show and there's 50 people waiting around for you and you're going to call in and go, "I can't make it today."
All right.
It'll never happen. And even if you do get sick, it won't even register in your mind as you being sick. You shoot an independent film, you shoot 20 days in a row, you cannot miss a day.
So you're really just, your mind is more powerful than your body at that point. You force yourself to be well enough to work if that's what you have to do.
What is sick in this modern day of heat and air conditioning and ergonomically correct chairs? You can't pick your ass up, drive yourself in your automatic car over to this place of work and plop yourself down in front of a computer?
All right, well, Adam, I got sick last week and lost my voice entirely.
Well, you have a job where you need to talk, which is very rare for most people.
And I do it well.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Clearly, we're not going to have time for This Week in Radio. So let me go off on another point that you brought up, Adam, because your name's Adam, right? Because
yeah.
I'm fascinated by this. The whole you never use antibacterial or wash your hands, is that because you figure that that builds up resistance to the dangers of the world?
I know we're meant to be exposed to things. You show me someone who is constantly worried about getting sick and constantly worried about germs, and I'll show you a sick person.
Isn't it possible that your genes are more responsible for that than any of your actions?
I think it has definitely a factor, but it definitely exposure. Look, everything I predict comes true, right?
Okay, well, for the most part, that's true.
All right, Purell is going to turn out to be a very bad choice 5 years from now when they start doing a whole bunch of studies. People need to be exposed to things. Don't wash your hands. Don't use Purell. Roll around in feces.
I can't believe that's the advice you're getting out today. All right, what about this? Every time we have Dr. Drew on and he's talking about the flu shots and he's talking about being sure to wash your hands when you get on and off the airplane or out, you know, coming home from work and stuff like that, what do you say to him? I mean, he's got medical science to back him up. Is he wrong?
Well, first off, is he a real doctor? Or just
yes.
A love doctor?
You know he's a real doctor.
I don't know that.
You know it.
No, I've worked with the man for many years. I've never seen the actual paperwork.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, what's he supposed to say? He's a doctor. You know, go get an estimate for a new roof and see if the guy says the old roof is fine.
But I would guess that the doctor who's not treating you as a patient would be honest with you.
First off, we all know Dr. Drew is a world-class pussy. That's number one.
All right.
Number two, that man is sick 3 weeks out of every month.
He really is sick a lot. I have noticed that, by the way.
The guy who sits next to him is never sick, either Mike or me. So obviously he's a flawed individual.
That is interesting. Who are you going to believe? The doctor who gets sick all the time or Adam Carolla who never gets sick, who's right there in the same environment that Dr. Drew is? That is fascinating.
I'm a fire captain. I'm giving you tips on fire safety, except for my house is on fire right now. Who are you going to listen to?
All right. Well, you've given us
to play that for Dr. Drew and get his take.
You have given us a great deal to think about, Dr. Carolla. You can see Adam live on stage, and I guarantee he will be there. He will not cancel due to illness at the Irvine Improv, along with Greg Fitzsimmons, who is hilarious. That's on Thursday, February 12th. Tickets are on sale now. And then on the 24th at the Ice House in Pasadena with the aforesaid mentioned Dr. Drew. Tickets available at adamcarolla.com. Have a great week, Ace Man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Ahead of the final showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning with us in for the ailing Ralph Garman, let me give a pair of tickets away to the Circle K NHRA Winter Nationals. They're happening this weekend at the Auto Club Raceway in Pomona. You can buy your tickets at NHRATix.com or you can win them right now if your caller's 10 through 14 at 1-800-520-1067 from the world famous K-Rock. All right, what's this? I haven't seen this video that you and Christine are talking about. What's going on?
Well, you know Daniel Cormier. We've had him in.
Love him.
Heavyweight fighter in the UFC.
He is going to be, next to Joe Rogan, he is going to be the all-time greatest UFC commentator. He is terrific on television, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Why do you say it like that?
There's a video I just posted on Twitter of him singing. You know the song All About the Bass?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
He's doing I'm All About the Cake and right. Chicken.
All right, I'm with you so far.
No, I don't think you understand.
I'm with you on the cake.
What's not to like?
Daniel Cormier in his jeans with no shirt
okay,
is dancing around and singing I'm All About That Cake and Chicken.
I love it.
Because you know I'm all about that cake and chicken. I'm all about that cake and chicken. I'm all about that cake and chicken. I'm all about that cake.
That's happening.
That's a video that he did. All right, here's the details. It's for the 7th Annual Fighters Only World MMA Awards that are going to air tonight on Fox Sports 2.
Yeah, it's pretty clear, I ain't no size 2, but I can wrestle, and I can throw you, cause I got that boom boom that all the fighters chase, all the right punches in all the right places, I'm an Olympian, trying to make the top, we know that Jones ain't real, come on son, make it stop, if you're a foodie, foodie, just raise him up, cause every inch of me is perfect from the bottom to the top, yeah, my mama, she told me, don't worry about your size.
Actually, it's pretty good, right?
I think he, for a UFC fighter, it's freaking excellent.
So she kept feeding me Popeye's chicken, those legs and thighs. You know I won't be no stick figure lightweight, you know that's wrong.
I think it's excellent, and I'm very surprised that you called it horrible, Bean.
I didn't say a word.
So just slide me that funfetti icing and move along.
Sing it if
because
you know it.
You know I'm all about that cake and chicken. I'm all about that cake and
I like
chicken.
It.
I'm all about
I've
that
heard
cake,
enough of it, but I like it.
Cake
5 seconds,
chicken.
Dude.
I'm all about that cake.
Can't believe you wanted me to stop playing. That's a strange thing to say, Bean,
now,
about
Dave,
Daniel Cormier.
Dave says that Daniel Cormier could take all of us out, first of all, with one
punch. Oh, there's no question about that.
He says that he is not singing on that track. He says someone else recorded it.
Oh,
so he's
lip-syncing.
Lip-syncing it.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, you should never have told anyone that, Dad. You should have taken credit for that.
You said that, Bean.
How dare you? That's very clever and very funny, by the way. Speaking of guys in jeans with their shirts off, Lisa May.
Yes?
Your review, please, on the Magic Mike XXL trailer that hit the internet this morning. You can see it on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page where it is currently blowing up. What's your takeaway on seeing this?
Well, I tried to watch it on Slate, and apparently me and everyone else was trying to watch it, and it wouldn't go. It was, like, crashed. So I haven't actually watched it yet.
It wouldn't go.
Well, head on over to Kevin and Bean Facebook page.
I will right now.
This is the sequel to the very popular Magic Mike movie with Channing Tatum, who looks as buff as he's ever looked, and Matt Bomer and Joe Manganiello. And of course, our friend Fluffy Gabriel Iglesias is back as well. But I never saw the first one. I hear it was great, though.
It was great. I mean, even with take out all the other stuff, it was actually a really good movie.
Take out all the other
stuff.
I mean,
take out all the naked
meaning the eye candy. Even without the eye candy, it's still a good story.
Even without that, it was a really good story.
Hey, and wasn't the story that Channing Tatum was a real-life stripper at one point?
That's right.
He came up with the story and based it on that. So anyway, if you want to see it, Kevin and Bean Facebook page is where you can see the Magic Mike XXL trailer.
Do we have time for a quick moment with?
Sure.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
I don't know. Tatum Channing. I would watch that.
How about Channing Tatum?
That guy.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
Now I'm afraid to say it because I can't ever remember which way it is.
It's Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum is right.
Channing Tatum. Just stick with
that. All right,
that.
Let me close with one more story because this is my favorite story of the whole day, and it is the craziest. He is an actor and conspiracy theorist named Randy Quaid. He's been in a lot of successful movies, including Independence Day. He was one of the stars of that. He was in Brokeback Mountain. He was in Kingpin. He was in the National Lampoon Vacation movies. He's gone off the rails in the last few years. He's got a big shaggy beard. He's basically had to leave the country under threat of arrest. He's been living up in Canada with his wife over the last 4 years. And he has some beef against Rupert Murdoch, who runs the Fox Empire, and also Warner Brothers. He claims that they not only stole his house, but that they had him, his wife and he falsely arrested 6 times by TMZ. Now, I don't know a lot about anything. But TMZ doesn't really arrest people, do they?
They don't arrest anyone, no. They're actually just a website.
He says, no, for real, that's really how it works. Hashtag PMC police media corruption boom is what Randy Quaid said.
Did he say boom?
He said boom.
Oh,
he wants
man to
retaliate against Warner Brothers and Fox for being put through a living hell of biblical proportions. So he put this video up on the internet this week. He's wearing the actual Hawaiian shirt that he wore from Independence Day. He's got a jacket on and he's not wearing any pants. And he basically, as you'll hear in this clip from the video, he basically is going to have his wife put on a Rupert Murdoch mask. This is the 85-year-old or whatever guy who runs Fox. He's going to have her put on a Rupert Murdoch mask, and then he is going to have sex with her on the tape. That's his way of getting back at Fox. So here's a little bit of Cuckoo Randy Quaid.
Hi, I'm Randy Quaid, and this is my wife, Evie. I help media giants News Corp and Warner Brothers Entertainment earn well over $1 billion for the films Independence Day and Christmas Vacation. What did I get in return? A Warner Brothers exec, Bruce Berman, stole my house. And News Corp's The New York Post continues to smear me to high heaven with a pack of lies. So how do we retaliate? Well, I still have a few tricks, too. So, Rupert, you want to f*** me? I'm gonna f*** you.
Uh-oh.
Evie, put this on. Maybe you'll thank me for this.
All right, so he spits in his hand and then gets into position.
Nope.
Now she's wearing a mask. By the way, I mentioned he lives in Canada to avoid arrest. The United States has not tried to extradite the Quaids, but they do face arrest if they reenter the country. I don't want to say that he's crazy. But he also has claimed that he is being stalked by the Hollywood Star Whackers, the same ones who were responsible for killing Heath Ledger and Kung Fu actor David Carradine. So they
The Hollywood Star Whackers.
Yes. So they came after them, and now they're coming after Randy Quaid. But he is avoiding them by living up in Canada. It's a crazy, crazy tape. You got to see it at TMZ.
Does he think that somehow Fox or somebody else is going to change their activity because he's making
because of the Rupert Murdoch mask?
This bizarre sex tape.
I don't know what he thinks. I don't know. But God, somebody please give this man a reality show.
Wow, that's spectacular.
Wouldn't you watch that?
Yes, I would. Every second.
God, love it.
Celebrity birthdays. Singer Alice Cooper is 67 years old. Just plays golf now.
Yep, that's all
pretty
she
much.
Does.
Plays that's golf. It.
Our friend Noodles is 52 years old. I told Chip she sounds like a kid when she does that.
She is a little kid.
Rob Corddry's 44. Oscar De La Hoya is 42. And comedian Hannibal Buress is 32 years old as well.
I know he's not listening, but just in case, Ralph Garman, if you're up, feel better. Hopefully we'll see you back here tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Jim Rome talking sports. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew and find out if Adam Carolla is telling the truth. That Dr. Drew, first of all, isn't a doctor. And second of all, that... being vaccinated and keeping yourself clean is the opposite of what you should do. And Adam never gets sick because of it.
So that's we'll what he said.
Ask him that.
Adam wrestles food away from animals and eats them. And it's still
that's
fine.
True. That's true. We also have Jeff Ross, comedian Jeff Ross in the studio. And the guys from Incubus are going to stop by.
Yes, they are.
With a brand new single. Mm-hmm. That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.